Well, what's not to like, ladies and gentlemen? Yes, we have another cabaret artiste, also an actor, excuse me, in the neighborhood with us this fine Saturday morning. And we made such an impression on this man. This is absolutely hysterical. I must be somewhat invisible because, first of all, this man was on our radio show 4 years ago. He didn't even remember. He spent like 45 minutes on the show. Didn't even remember a moment of it. And I just had to remind him, you know, off the air. And at that time, 4 years ago, he had not remembered that I was running the box office for a show that he was in way back before he was famous as he is now. A show called Olympus on My Mind. So now I'm going to remind him once again. Ladies and gentlemen, Jason Grah is with us. Oh. And Jason, do you feel humbly ashamed now?
Wow, I feel so big for my britches that I can't possibly remember all the minutia of my life, Dave.
Oh, I'm so...
all the little people.
That's what I am. I'm minutia, ladies and gentlemen.
I would just like to say, in my defense...
Yeah.
Of my brain fart. That's what comes from too much pills and liquor.
There you go. Wait, what song? That's what comes. Oh, it's from Cabaret. That's not like a Jerry Herman show.
Much pills and liquor. I so remember you from Olympus on My Mind. And I do remember talking about Olympus on My Mind on your radio show last time. I have to tell you, I'm in the country right now. I'm upstate New York.
Ooh.
And I came out here to stay at my director of my show, Lee Tannen's beautiful country house right on the Hudson River. And I'm a complete potato head right now. It's been so beautiful. I'm just like totally in vacation mode. So, you know, you've really gotten me kind of vulnerable right now.
Well, but wait a minute. If you're in complete vacation mode, aren't you appearing as we speak? I mean, do you have to be in New York City tonight?
I've got a little break. We've done two shows already of Perfect Harmony.
Right.
The songs of Jerry Herman. We did it Monday and Tuesday at the last Tuesday and Wednesday at the Laurie Beachman Theater on 42nd and 9th. And then we have two more shows coming up this week on Monday and Tuesday night.
Oh, okay.
A little break.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah, you get to be in the country and away from the zaniness of New York, which I know you must love. Are you still a New Yorker at heart, or are you on the West Coast as mainly your home?
I am in the West Coast now, and I am still a New Yorker at heart.
Fair enough. So is there enough work for what you do living on the coast? Is it because you travel and tour all the time? Or,
yeah, I spent a lot of time on the road so that I can afford the house that I own in Hollywood.
A house in Hollywood?
Yeah, I live under the Hollywood sign, Dave. I live under the hoe of the Hollywood sign.
Well, I've lived under my share of hoes before. But no, I don't know what that means. Thank you. It was your joke. It was your joke. I was just building on it. So is most of your career, I mean, you're doing, I know you do a little bit of acting. You were in 6 Feet Under. I remember being shocked. I was suddenly like, oh, my gosh, there's Jason Grah. But mostly it's live performance still. Am I right?
I moved out to Los Angeles like 13 years ago to do Forbidden Hollywood. And then I was primarily doing television out there. And then, you know, the whole thing kind of changed with the reality shows coming in and the writer's strike and all that kind of stuff. And so the TV climate is a little different. It's starting to come around again. But that's when I started, you know, doing my one-man show and doing a lot of operas, strangely enough. And I do a lot of theater, and, you know, so I travel a lot. I come back here a lot. I'm a prostitute. I go wherever they pay me, Dave.
that's good to know. And your call button number is, in case people want to... Because Jason is an extremely charming fellow. I mean, I'm as it happens, I'm straight. But if I were not, you know, Jason is one of the first people I would call as far as, hey, you know, I'm ready to turn. Not happy.
Wow, my loss. Now you tell me. Oh, great. I don't even remember that we talked the last time, but I do remember that I was strangely attracted to you, Dave.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. But it's that level of insouciance and charm that has made Jason Grah. I'm not building to a joke here. This is the truth. This is, here, this is what Brian Scott Lipton also a friend of mine, actually, who wrote about Perfect Harmony at the Lori Beachman Theater. Quote, "Armed with the timing of an expert stand-up comic, a delicious array of facial expressions, and the uncanny ability to engage the audience as conspirators..." Oh, sorry, I've been talking all morning. "The uncanny ability to engage the audience as conspirators in his tomfoolery, Gra often leaves spectators in stitches." How's that for a review?
Wow, how about that? Brian Scott Lipton, eh?
Yeah, I know him. I think he's Theater Mania now, but I know
he's Theater Mania, yeah, I got that review. I love Brian. Always admired him as a writer, and I really admire his taste in performers.
See, him you remember. Me, you have to have your memory, John.
I remember you. Yes, that was really fun. We're really having a complete ball, to segue it back over to my show at the Lori Beachman. It's so much fun. And, you know, it's Jerry Herman, so you can't go wrong singing those songs. Everybody loves hearing some Jerry Herman show tunes, especially here in New York. And it's been just great. It's been so fun to celebrate him. And, you know, it's his 80th birthday this year.
Mazel tov. And who knew, like 20 years ago, considering his health condition? I mean, you know, that was back when you-know-what was a death sentence, pretty much. And instead, here he is, here Larry Kramer. I mean, go figure. How amazing.
No, it's so amazing. It's truly amazing. And he's so strong at 80, you know. And he's, you know, he's like shorter than me. You know, he's a little guy, but God, he's a pistol, and his enthusiasm and his exuberance, you know, it's contagious. So he's an amazing force of nature.
But how did you go from being, well, not to be negative, but being, quote, just another cabaret singer who, like every cabaret singer, does a Jerry Herman song or two, to being a specialist and also, I would say, a friend of Jerry Herman?
Wild, isn't it?
Well, how did it happen?
No, I like that. Well, it was really thanks to Michael Kirker and ASCAP. They put together a show called Hello Jerry, and we traveled around the country. It was Jerry and Don Pippin, you know, his longtime musical director, and Karen Morrow, the fabulous Karen Morrow, and Paige O'Hara, Paige and Susan Egan kind of alternated, and myself. And we did this show. We went to about 20 cities. We went all over the country, and we were performing this fabulous show called Hello, Jerry. And Jerry came out, and he played, and he sang Mame. He played for us, and he would tell stories, and it was just like this really fun review. And so I got to really know him well during that time, and loved him. You know, he just couldn't be more supportive of singer singing his material, and, you know, he loves hearing a stuffed song. Who wouldn't?
Right.
He wrote those songs. But it was such a ball, and so that really started this relationship. And then he kind of, you know, he got a little worn out from the life on the road and didn't feel like going to all those places and stuff. So I thought, well, damn it, I missed the paycheck. So that I started putting a show of my own together. So I thought, and now he's, you know, he's such hot stuff. He just got the Kennedy Center honor and his 80th birthday. So I thought, I'll ride his coattails, damn it. And I have some good stories about working with him. And, you know, I did the grand tour that he put together in Los Angeles. And I've gotten to do quite a few different events with him. So,
just to whet people's appetite, share us a story of working with Jerry Herman, and then people can see other stories when they come to see you at the Beachman Theater. So, give us a taste.
Well, I tell the whole story about where I first met him, which was when I auditioned for Hello Dolly, for the national tour of Hello Dolly. And
wait, the original?
I'm sorry?
What, are we talking the original Hello Dolly? From
I'm not quite that old.
Yeah,
but
no.
Thanks anyway.
No,
you know.
I'm sorry, no.
Which? Yes, it was for the role of Irene Malloy's adopted baby.
I thought you were going to say the role of Irene Malloy. Then I'd be really... No, I'm kidding.
I'm not that versatile. But My Ribbon's Down My Back, it's one of the best songs in the show. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, the first time, it was for the 1983 national tour of Hello Dolly. Okay. Carol Channing. Mm-hmm. And so that's the first time that I met him. And so, you know, I kind of talk about our journey together. And then when we finally got to meet up, when we started doing the show, the first time that I ever sang for Jerry was for a concert of his at UCLA, and I was singing "Just Go to the Movies" with Katie Sullivan, and Jerry was sitting, you know, 2 feet away from me, and it's a Liszt song, you know, that "Just Go to the Movies," so it's nerve wracking. So we were getting through it, and I was ready to, you know, pee on the floor. I was so beside myself with excitement that he was there, and he was so supportive and so generous afterwards, and honest to God, he just makes you feel so comfortable singing his stuff, and all composers don't do that. Some you know, are a nervous wreck, but he's so nurturing and so very, very encouraging for singers singing his material, and so
I love
performing with him.
Has he ever told you why, apart from, say, Mrs. Santa Claus, he really hasn't contributed that much new material in the last, like, 30 years? Well, 20 years.
Well, you know, he wrote the Miss Spectacular, which
Miss Spectacular. Right. That's it. Yes.
And they did a concept album of that, and there are some great songs in Miss Spectacular. Oh, my God. You know, he got caught up in, you know, I mean, I think he had to start taking care of his health, you know. And that kind of took him out of things for a while. But you know, The Miss Spectacular is this wonderful concept album that they're trying to do as a theater piece, and that's taken a while, and I hope that they'll do something with it, because, again, it's all Jerry Herman songs, and
he
doesn't know how to write anything but a great song, you know? So, and now he's just, everything, you know, it's just, he just seems to be in the air, and his stuff is all so current and fun, and it's coming back, and everybody's talking about these revivals of Hello Dolly and Mame, and all these things. So, you know, hopefully there's more to come.
Hey, what is your favorite Jerry Herman song, Jason Grah?
Well, Dave, I have to say that, oh, God, that's a tough question. I would say...
Wait, tell you what, I'll split the question in half. What is your favorite Herman song just in general, and what is your favorite Herman song to sing? How's that? Is that easier?
Uh-huh. I think my favorite Herman song to sing is Marianne from the Grand Tour.
Okay.
I think it's one of the most beautiful songs he ever wrote, and everybody doesn't know it, and its simplicity is stunning. It's so beautiful, and I remember when I saw the Grand Tour when I was in college, and that song, it stayed with me forever. You know, it's a classic. And it's not one of his most known songs. So I think, you know, whenever I hear "I Don't Want to Know" from Dear World, I get goosebumps, you know, regardless of who's singing it. That's probably my favorite song. And it's, you know, it's vintage life-affirming Jerry Herman, but it's also got such pain and pathos underneath it. And I love it. I think the score of Dear World is stunning.
Oh, there's a reason you're a specialist in Jerry Herman, because you really get into the music. By the way, and I should mention that the two songs that Jason just mentioned, "I Don't Want to Know" from Dear World, and "Marianne" back with Mrs. S.L. Jakubowski, are both on your CD. The CD is also called Perfect Hermony. It's on the Kritzerland label, which I guess you can get at jasongrah.com. Or do you have to go to Amazon, or how do you get it?
You can get it at Kritzerland.com.
Oh, okay, cool. Kritzerland.
Bruce's label. And I think it's eventually going to be over at Amazon. Bruce Kimmel said that he was heading it over to that place as well. So, or I'll be selling it at the Laurie Beachman Theater on Monday or Tuesday night, Dave.
Oh, so people can you'll sign it and everything? You'll shake a hand?
I will sign it. I'll do cartwheels if anybody buys it. I don't have to carry, like, all those CDs back to L.A. on Wednesday, so I'm trying to, you know, dump them out now when I can.
There you go. So everybody, go to the show, go to the cabaret show with Jason Grob, Perfect Harmony. Get the CD. You will not regret it. It's really quite delightful. I'm going to play another track. I know, you have to leave in about 2-3 more minutes. I thought we would have a bit more time with you, Jason. You kind of threw me a curve.
I'm so sorry. How far are we from the train station? How far are we from the train station? 40 minutes from the train station. So now we got to get in the car because now I'm heading back to New York tonight. And so, I didn't know that we were quite as far, but oh my God, I'm looking at the river right now and I'm talking to my favorite DJ in the world. What could be better than this?
The favorite DJ that Jason doesn't remember. So, do you have?
It was so wonderful the last time. I had to put it out of my mind. It was getting in the way of my relationship.
So you do have a couple more. You're in the car, so we have a few more minutes. Or not?
I could talk in the car. There will be other people sitting there with me,
So let's do another 5-10 minutes, and then, so I can annoy you a little bit longer. A question that I asked Barb Junger when she was on, about an hour ago on this show, had to do with the fact that, there's New York and L.A. when it comes to cabaret, and how do we get more cabaret in between those two states? How much of what you do is between the two coasts? And do you see that growing of a feel for cabaret performance in the middle of the country?
In the middle of the country?
Yeah.
Well, the climate's very, very different now than what it was 10 years ago. I love cabaret. We're doing it in Los Angeles where the audiences are so, they're so savvy and so theater savvy, and those are my people. And so, to get to do it in cabaret rooms, in LA and New York is like, to me, just, it's the ultimate, perfect experience of performing because it's just so much fun and the energy's so ridiculously through the roof. To me, you do these places, and then in mid-America, where cabaret is not particularly thriving in a lot of cities, you take the reviews that you get from New York and L.A., and then you go to small concert halls, and you do it around the country, and there's a lot of series, and there's a lot of theaters that I perform at, 500 to 1,000-seat theaters and things like that, and that's where you actually can make the money, is in the middle of the country, because God knows we don't make millions doing cabaret. So I'm getting in the car right now with my fellows. But Los Angeles has become a surprisingly very big cabaret city all of a sudden. All these new rooms are popping up. And so it's great to see. Unfortunately, they fired the cabaret jazz critic from the LA Times. Everything is downsizing now, so there's not lots of support, journalistic wise. So that's not helpful. But there's quite a thriving community right now in LA. So not quite rival New York yet, but it's getting better.
Getting there, and of course you're helping. But do you have any idea why? Is it just a cyclical thing? Is it that there are more actors there who sing, and so when they're not, trying to get a TV series, they're is that it? Is that why?
Yeah, it's a huge thing because there's so many people that come to LA from New York for periods of time, and weeks go by in LA where you do nothing. It can be a wasteland sometimes. So these places, they have this Upright Cabaret in Los Angeles and Bar Vermont and some of these places. They've got a bunch of really great Broadway singers out there who just want to be out there performing, and Jim Caruso comes out there and does the cabaret, and it's packed. It's always a huge event. And I just was told we're going to lose a signal at some point.
Okay.
So if you lose me, it's only because of the signal, not because of my.
And we just did. Jason. Yeah. You're back. There you are.
Am I back?
Yeah. Oh, that was quick. Yeah. We only lost you briefly. We're talking with Jason Grob in a car in upstate New York. Everybody make sure to see him, though, when he's in regular New York in the days ahead, playing at the Laurie Beachman at the West Bank Cafe is actually the name of the place, 407 West 42nd Street. That's right around 9th and 10th Avenue. He's doing two more shows until October 25th, A Perfect Harmony. Jason, are you there or are you lost for good? Jason? Okay. Well, it has been a pleasure. He did warn us. Jason Grah. Whoops. Stop that. Okay. There we go. Jason Grah, Perfect Harmony. Let's hear a bit more of Jason saluting Jerry Herman the best way he knows how by singing his great songs. A bit of Jason Grah there, It Only Takes a Moment, and Loving You here on Dave's Gone By. We have Jason back. I don't know if he would be able to call back, but he has, and he is. He is here with us for a little while longer before he goes into another tunnel, as it were. So, Jason, welcome back. First of all, before we lose you again, yes, you were in an off-Broadway show called Olympus on My Mind, a very delightful show, and I was involved backstage with stuff like that. Well, were you remembering that show was protested?
Yeah, by the, you know, because it was at the Lambs Theater, and there was like, there were people of the Nazarene faith would live there. It was kind of like a boarding house for Nazarenes or something.
Yeah.
Outside the theater was the New York Times quote, which said, naughty musical comedy fun.
Right.
New York Times. And they were so upset by the word naughty outside their boarding house and church that they would sit outside and pray for the show to close.
Good. I don't remember that at all. And I was walking in and out of that theater every single... That's so bizarre. And
isn't that funny? See, so we all don't remember certain things, do we, Dave?
Okay, fair enough. And actually, people got their revenge, because after that, Bo Jest was there for a long time. That's show about
right.
The Jewish girl with a non-Jewish boyfriend. And
that's right.
We got those right. Nazarenes back. Although I think they have their theater back, because the Lambs hasn't been the Lambs for a while. Oh, well.
It's not a theater anymore, right?
I don't think so. I don't know what they would have done with that space. They probably just have church services or something. I don't know. Oh, well.
Well, their prayers worked because Olympus on My Mind did close, you know. Of course, it ran like, you know, almost a year. So it had a good run, but
yeah,
eventually...
No, very good, right? Well,
I think God closed it.
Well, didn't it move? It went from the Actors' Playhouse. Oh, that's why I don't remember it. I was with it at the Actors' Playhouse.
Oh, okay. That was right on 28th Street.
Exactly. And then it moved. And
right.
Yeah, oh, see?
That's right, because we thought it was like a flop at the Actors' Playhouse. We thought, oh, no, this is going to be horrible. And everybody, it started out kind of slow, and then it got these great reviews. And then we moved it up to the Lambs Theater.
There you go.
I don't think any Nazarenes came to the Actors' Playhouse.
I doubt that very highly. Although, it's kind of interesting, kind of cool. I mean, Ron Raines is now on Broadway in Follies, which I'm going to be talking about in just a couple of minutes. Yeah,
yeah.
So
he was... my father in Olympus on My Mind. And I just say he's one of my dearest friends, and I went and saw him in the show the other night. And I loved it. Loved him. It was fabulous.
Yeah, I agree. It was a really, really great revival. And I'm wondering, are you in touch with any of the other... Olympus people. Emily Zacharias, so she's doing okay? Have you heard from her?
Emily's doing great, and I know she just played the Mother in Nine out at the Westchester Broadway Theater, I think, last year, and I love her. And Faith Prince and I pop up, we run into each other from time to time at the concert world. We taught at the Yale Cabaret Conference last year and did our shows up there, and Marty Vidnovic and I keep in touch on Facebook. He let everybody know that he was having a colonoscopy on his Facebook page. It's beautiful.
Were there pictures, or was he just was it just words?
He put pictures up, but then he took them down immediately. Unfortunately, I saw them.
You're kidding? He really did? I was joking. He put pictures of his colonoscopy up?
Mm-hmm. They lasted for like a day, and then he got rid of
them.
Close to him. I know. Well, you know, he just has a lot of love to share inside and out.
He's certainly... Whoa. Well, that's the... I would say I'm sorry I missed that, but oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'm not. But that was kind of funny. And I keep in touch with Grant Sturiali and Barry Harmon, who wrote it, who I loved, and Barry directed it. So we still touch thanks to Facebook, you know. So that's been a great thing.
Do you still try out for Broadway musicals? Do you do that? Do you audition?
Yeah, although, it's not as easy as it was when I lived here, because, you know, most anything I got on Broadway was because I did, you know, a reading of it, which then went on, or did a workshop, or, you know, did demo tapes. You know, I got in on the ground floor. It was very rare that I went and auditioned for a show that was all ready to go to Broadway that I got. So, you know, in L.A., you're not around for that kind of stuff, you know, like at the ground floor. Of the show. So I would love to come back here and sit in the show for a while. It would be a ball. So I'm hoping there's some of that in my future.
Ooh, well, I hope so, too, for all our sakes. And it's long enough for me to come back from Colorado and come see you in New York, unless, of course, you bring your cabaret performances to Colorado. Hint, hint. That would be really, really nice to do.
I'd love it. It's hard to sing there, though. You get so out of breath. Liz Calloway and I came to Lake Dillon. Is that what it's called? Lake Dillon, outside Boulder,
oh.
I believe. And they have a theater company there. And we did a fundraiser about 5 years ago and had a ball. It was great fun. And that's the only time I performed there. I did the falsettos of the national tour. We were in Denver.
Oh, wow.
So it was really, really fun. Yeah.
I can see you in
front. I mean, there. I would love to come there. If you have any ideas, let me know, Dave.
You betcha. We're talking with great Jason Gra, and I guess the other usual question to ask is, now that you're doing Perfect Harmony and bringing that around, but what's on next on your plate, as it were?
Well, let's see. I'll go back to L.A. next week, and then I'm emceeing some big cancer benefit at the Beverly Hilton in November, which is going to be...
Okay.
Always fun. Thank God for cancer. It's really given me some great work. And then I'm
going to
do...
Yes,
sir. What are we listening to? Then we're going to go to...
Wait a minute. You have to understand. Jason is this most... As I keep saying, this charming, plucky, puckish fellow. He was actually the voice of the Lucky Charms leprechaun for a few years. And so you don't expect him to come out with a joke like... Me, you would. Me, people would go, oh, that's Dave. Oh, he's horrible. He's an evil, evil person. But Jason Gra makes a joke about cancer. It just comes completely out of left field. Shame on you. But thank you.
I know, forgive me. You know, you've got to laugh sometime or you commit suicide. So, you know, one tries to have some levity. It's been a tough year. I've had actually a lot of friends who have been stricken with it this year, and it's been a very difficult year. So,
I'm sorry.
You've got to laugh sometimes, right?
Well, yeah, no, I'm sorry. And it's funny. People I know, too, have had a tough year health-wise. We ran into a person that we knew a couple of years ago, and we were having breakfast, and we saw her. Oh, her hair was really surprisingly short and different. And he's like, oh, it's interesting haircut. And she was like, no, well, it's chemotherapy. I was like, oh, boy, you know.
A very friend of mine just went through it, and they have now this thing where they do this whole ice pack thing where you put it on the day of the chemo, and it keeps the hair follicles, you know, from expanding. And she has kept all her hair, and she's been through 3 chemo treatments, and she only has 1 to go. So it's kind of like this new miracle therapy.
Good luck. And are you healthy? Are you fine? Everything's good?
So far, so good. Knocking on wood, Dave.
That's what it's all about. That's good to hear.
You too, right? You're feeling good?
Yeah, thank God. You know, just the usual. You know, I get up in the morning. If I'm still breathing, I feel good. There you go. No, thank God. Thank God. I'm fine. I'm fine. So we are heading towards...
It's good to talk to you.
It is, man. Great to talk to you, Jason. We are heading towards a happy ending. Hint, hint. Let you know the song I'm about to play. So everybody, again, one more time, Jason Gra, get his new album, Perfect Harmony, from Kritzerland.com. Also, everybody check out JasonGra.com, G-R-A-A-E, JasonGra.com. And everybody go see him at the Laurie Beachman Theater up until October 25th. Jason, it's been a joy, as I knew it would be. Thank you. Best of luck. I guess that's about it, isn't it? Say something horrible.
Dave, I can't. I've missed you so through the years, and I'm glad to finally talk to you again.
Likewise, man. Have a great weekend. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks, Dave.
Bye-bye.